This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
You're on Hide and Seek with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice here on Joy 94.9. You're a show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. And Andrew, still in the middle of Midsummer.
We are still in the middle of Midsummer. And Bad Adam and Pony are two short performances that are giving sexuality a strip search. Down at Theatre Works next
Sounds
week.
Wonderful.
And joining us from Pony is Mr. Jay Robinson. Good evening, Jay.
Good evening. How are you?
Very
great,
well.
Thanks.
That's good.
Tell us where this concept came from, because you, as your blurb says, you're exploring the challenges in constructing a male sexual identity when growing up in Australia. First of all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the joyous city of Adelaide,
right,
and moved here about 6 years ago, mm-hmm, just to, I don't know, do stuff.
Well, I think many people from Adelaide just leave to come to Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I got over going to church pretty quickly. So, I grew up in Adelaide, and the work explores just my experience of kind of understanding what the concept of my socio-cultural identity is, I guess. Mm. It's something that came up for me last year while I was studying at VCA. I just did a one-year course last year in choreography and honours. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at identity and dance and society, and looked at a lot of dances from video clips and how lots of dance trends came from that kind of medium. And then I kind of questioned what my own social cultural identity was. And so that's kind of where the idea initially first came from.
And did you just... You said you just did a 1 year at VCA. Was it just you were a tradie and you decided to go and do a year at VCA? Or had you been studying?
No, I trained as an actor,
yep,
in Adelaide, and then a dancer, and worked independently over there and over here. And then just needed a bit of a break. You know, dance is a pretty full-on thing to do. So I just decided to go and be a bartender for a while in a person, and in some ways it was really great because all of those experiences have infiltrated into my artistic practice and give me a lot of information and motivation for making work.
It's funny how you bring up that a lot of dance comes from video clips, and now that I'm thinking about that, well, that's kind of true. Like, when people see, like, if people are going to see people dancing, usually it's in video clips, and then it's kind of emulated in clubs and things.
Pretty much. I mean, I guess my own exposure to dance growing up, especially in a town like Adelaide with a brickie for a dad, you know, I only really knew dance from what I saw on TV, from, you know, New Kids on the Block to Madonna, of course. But, and I just became obsessed with it and actually developed this like little ritual where I would video my favourite clips, and then when my parents would leave the house, I would dance like crazy, and then I'd hear them come home and quickly rearrange the bedroom so they didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so that was all my training, and it's something that still, I guess, has kind of stayed with me since, you know, going and training in both classical and contemporary and all the kind of usual ones that a professional dancer has to understand. Mm.
And so leading up to a show like this, what sort of things do you have to do to get ready for a performance?
Run a lot on a treadmill.
Yep.
Give up my love for cheeseburgers. Switch from Carlton Draft to Pure Blonde. But really just kind of...
Surprised you didn't cut out beer altogether.
No. It's a godsend some days at the end of a rehearsal. There's a lot of preparation that goes into it, mainly physically, just getting back up to scratch. And also, you know, emotionally, spiritually, the work is quite personal, and I think that's part of its beauty. Yeah. So it's, yeah, there's lots of stuff that goes into it, and also because me and Dosh are kind of producing the work ourselves, so we work as a really good team. I'm very, very lucky to get to work with him.
So Dosh is the guy that is in Bad Adam.
Yes.
So how have you worked together, or maybe... Like, how did it come about to work together?
Well, we were both studying postgraduate studies last year at VCA, and Dosh, I'd known Dosh just as a friend, and it was really exciting to kind of go and get to study together. And we worked on a show initially for, he approached me about choreographing a work called Box Me, which was a part of the AIDS conference last year, and it was the work was exploring a moment of disclosure between two guys that were dating, and I ended up being in the work, and so our professional relationship kind of developed really out of that, and we just have a real cohesion with what it is that we're both interested in exploring and performing. I think there's a lot of similarities, but he just chose theatre and I chose dance. So mm-hmm. I think the two works sit really well next to each other.
And is it a case that you can treat each other, that you really just, you know, you go to him, oh, that bit's not working, or he goes to you, that bit's not working.
He is a wealth of support and information, and in getting to do this work again, because I did create this initial work for VCA last year, I really wanted to make it really change and give it a lot of truth. So he's been really supportive in that. I think we're both a bit like that for each other. In some ways, we're a bit like an artistic kind of Batman and Robin, and sometimes he's a Batman and sometimes I'm Batman. So,
Can you tell us a little bit about his show?
His work is a theatre work, and he's exploring this idea that Adam's gone back into the garden, but it's not the garden as we know it, using the kind of religious iconography of the traditional story of Adam and Eve. And he's created this great kind of synopsis of Adam going to a place called Club Eden, and the work is extremely confessional and 100% unholy, but it's deeply poetic and doesn't hold back at all. And I think the beauty of that work is it really just puts all the shit out on the table, you know, and makes it just really gets audiences kind of thinking, you know, which I think is good to do in theatre, because I mean, Facebook and Instagram can't do that, the things that theatre can. And I think the language and his style of performing is really contemporary and really honest, and you'd be crazy to miss it.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're chatting with Jay Robinson, who does Pony, is back to back with Bad Adam by Dosh, happening at Theatre Works as part of Midsummer. Now, Jay, what are some of the dance moves, for example, that you had to pick out that really demonstrate sexuality and what you're wanting to get across?
There's a point in the work that I kind of actually really just went to club culture, and having worked in those kind of environments for a couple of years, I'm always obsessed with the physicality of and engagement of the communication of bodies in that environment. So rather than kind of going into the studio and setting like movements to 5, 6, 7, 8, blah blah blah, I've really explored what those observations were and experiences that I had, and really tried really hard to kind of embody them in a really physical capacity. So, yeah, it's quite, I would say that the work isn't, it's, you know, it's not a technical kind of showmanship work. I mean, of course, there's a lot of effort and training that goes into it, but I really picked moves that are really accessible and digestible for any audience to come and see, because I don't wish to make dance work that's extremely abstract and you know, I want to tell a story, and I decide to do that with my body, and that's really where the moves come from. If there's no reason to move, then I can't work out what to choreograph.
And because your story is about a guy that transforms from a pony into a stallion. Is
yes.
that right?
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of using the metaphor of this idea of that I'm born a pony in terms of representing my sexuality and being different from everything else that was around me when I was growing up. It also stems from my obsession of My Little Ponies from the 80s, much to my dad's dismay, which you can see in the work. And I still kind of collect them. But
I've met someone else who collects My Little Ponies.
Quite a thing, James. It is quite a thing.
It's called Brony. We never had it in 1985. But
what's Brony? Is what the collection?
Brony is dudes that are into My Little Ponies. It's a recent kind of phenomena in the last few years that have stemmed from Generation 4 of Hasbro releasing the new version of My Little Pony for children today.
Right. One of my mates has a My Little Pony tattoo. Like, that's how far it went.
That's dedication. I'm yet to do that. I do have a couple of little horses on me, but I've got 200 at home. So if your friend's
200,
yeah. So if your friend's a collector, I'd like to see him say all their names.
Well, if there were that many, can you name all your 200? You know what?
Pretty much all of them. Yeah, I think I can. Yeah, to piss my father off, really. He actually gave me $50 a few years ago to go and buy something for Christmas, and I bought a My Little Pony hair salon with amber locks and three limited edition ponies, and he was like, "Why are you still buying them?" I'm like, "Because you didn't let me when I was a kid."
Oh, it's all your fault, Daddy.
I can't give them up. Yeah, addicted.
So
you're thrown by that.
I am thrown by that.
Do you have like Brony collector kind of conferences?
In America. They're huge, but I mean, I'm yet to go there, and I don't really.
Is there a Brony club here in Australia?
Look, there probably is, but I'm too busy dancing and working to go and.
Okay. Break so, have you met anyone with the same?
I have a few times. Yeah, but no one's up to my standards. Sorry.
Wow, there you go.
So you're drawing inspiration from My Little Ponies, but it's really about the transition of a man from pony to stallion.
Yeah, I think the metaphor for me really works. I mean, the physicality of a young pony, and you know, it's kind of apprehensiveness and kind of that real kind of vulnerable quality. I think you know, like just the act of it even standing up, and then you look at it, you know, a grown up horse like a stallion, and they're so strong and commanding. And so I kind of reflected at my own experiences and really made a connection with this idea of playing with it.
Mm. So, yeah, still collect little ponies.
And yeah, still collect them. Yeah.
So Pony is created and performed by Jay Robinson. It goes back to back with Bad Adam, which is created and performed by Dosh Luckwell. It's a double bill of short performances presented back to back that question sex, sexualities, play, power and pleasure through theatre and dance. It is on at Theatre Works down in St Kilda from Wednesday the 4th of February through to Saturday the 7th of February. A mix of 9 p.m, 7 p.m, and even a 3 p.m. matinee show.
Oh, can't wait for that one. Yeah.
Yep, sure.
So for more information, get along to midsummer.org.au. Jay Robinson, break a leg. Not literally, but obviously.
Thanks. I'll just smash my tail around.
Smash your tail around.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're on Hide and Seek. James Phelan and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Joy 94.9, 24 minutes to 10.
That's right. This coming Sunday, the 1st of February, is, of course, Pride March, happening down in along Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. The 20th one, James.
20th? How many have you been to?
Five, maybe.
No, oh, okay.
Something like that.
Why is that? Were they five recent ones?
Yeah, probably the most recent.
So you weren't gay before that?
I wasn't out. I've only been out for 10 years, and I've only been in Melbourne for 7-ish.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll lay off that.
Yeah, okay.
You're okay.
Good. Now, Pride March is, of course, a great opportunity for all the community groups across our diverse rainbow communities to get together. And I was just having a look, the march order has just gone up on the Midsummer website this evening.
See, that's interesting.
It is. And 132 entrants into the Pride March are there for Sunday.
132, wow, it's going to go for a while.
It's going to go for a little while.
Some of them will be quite small, though.
Yes, but it's a great afternoon. And somebody who has been marching for a while, I'm gathering is Mr. Andrew Lovett from Vic Leather. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, boys.
So how many pro matches have you done?
Vic Leather done or have I done personally?
Yeah, you've done.
Let's do you first.
Let's do me first. I've been to about 7 Pride marches.
Yep.
And I've marched in 3.
Okay.
Or 2, I can't remember. Memory. But yeah, love Pride March. It's great.
I think I can't remember how many I've been to, but I think it's definitely less than both of you. But, but everyone I have been to, I marched in. I think it's ever since I came to Joy.
Okay. Yeah,
so I've been a member for 6 years.
I think so. I've only actually marched in one. I've been doing other stuff in other years.
Oh, you're working.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Andrew, so just as you said, you've been going along for probably 7 years and, yep, and marching for. So as a punter, going along and watching everything, what are your recollections of those?
Well, the first year I went, I had never been to a march. I hadn't been to Mardi Gras at all, so. Wasn't really, I'd kind of heard of it, but yeah. So what I found, my first impression was, it was great because it was community. There wasn't as, you know, there weren't like huge like sponsors like you see at Mardi Gras. Like, yeah. It was more communities. I saw councils, schools, and so it was a bit of an eye-opening experience because at that point I didn't know, you know, Pride reached out to, you know, some high schools and some councils. And so I was really kind of, well, not surprised. I was overwhelmed by it.
Mm. It can get quite emotional, I find.
Did you cry last
particularly,
time?
Not the last time, but maybe the first one I can recall being quite emotional.
Yeah, it meant a lot for me because, I suppose not having done like a big event like that before, it kind of makes you feel very connected and, yeah, you know, that, oh, I don't want to use the term, but you're not the only gay in the village.
Yeah, yeah. So. One thing that I can't wipe off my face going down there is my frickin' smile.
Yes.
Because everyone is so darn happy. And then you look at these, like, punters on the side of the streets, you know, with their kids and whatever, like, just random people just standing there going, yeah,
yeah,
you go, gays.
It is brilliant. It is brilliant.
It is just, you can't, there is nothing else like it.
No.
Ever.
No, exactly.
So if you haven't marched before, perhaps think about doing it this time.
Think about doing it this time.
Go to the Midsummer Whips, like, find someone to march with. Perhaps you're into leather and you want to march with the Vic Leather guys.
Yeah, we're marching. Love to have you. Wear some leather. Don't go too provocative. Maybe a vest. Just keep everything inside. And maybe bring a leather flag as well. We're going to have leather flags this year. So, yeah, and show that leather pride.
So, no chaps.
No chaps.
No.
A harness, maybe. But
oh, yeah,
maybe,
harness.
Maybe. It's going to be sunny, so block out.
Oh, yeah, be careful. You don't want to get burnt in your harness.
Oh, my God, harness tan. Like a T-shirt tan.
How embarrassing. It's like singlet tan. Yeah.
Like singlet tan.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm going to be wearing my vest, probably some... my wristbands, my boots, belt, maybe a cap, not sure.
It might be quite hot, and so perhaps a cap is a good idea for you.
Which, yes. We should check the weather forecast during our next little break, James.
Not now.
Not now. So, Andrew, so Vic Leather's marching, and has been marching since its inception, I'm guessing.
That's right. Yeah. I think this will be our third march. Yeah.
So remind our listeners about Vic Leather and its real purpose.
Okay. Vic Leather, we are what we call an umbrella organisation. So we are there to kind of, when I say bring everyone together, we are GLBTI friendly. We're there for everybody. We're there for the people who love leather.
Even hetero leather, right?
Even hetero leather. That's right. If you love wearing leather, we're the organisation for you. We meet once a month at Gear Up, which is at the Yorkshire, and gives our members and people who are new to the leather scene an opportunity to come and chat and discuss. And it's not as like confronting as maybe going to like a leather bar or a leather dance party. So yeah, so it's just our organisation is there for the people who just love wearing leather.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice and James Finlay. It is Pride March this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. I presume you know get down to Lakeside about 1 o'clock ish.
Well, Marshall's from 12.
Marshall's from 12.
Yeah.
Make sure you're there by 1.
So if you want to march, get down there.
and then kicks off at 2.
And also, what time do they stop shutting down trams? Might want to...
Yes.
Oh, around 12:30?
Yeah, 12:30.
Yep. So get in if you're public transporting.
Yes,
yeah.
Make sure you're down there. I'll get the one, time.
Get the 112 because it stops at the end, doesn't it? Or 96 does.
96, I think.
Yeah.
And we are joined with Andrew Lovett from Vic Leather. Andrew, as we said, Vic Leather's marching for third year. There's 100...
Third year? Yeah. I didn't pick up on that disgraceful amount.
We've only been around for 4 years.
Oh, okay, I missed that. Then. Yeah. was there a leather thing before that?
There was. There was Melbourne Leather Pride.
Okay,
which was a different organisation.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. This is all coming back to me now. I've been away for a long time. Okay, I forget the leather history.
18 months ago. Yeah. 132 entrants into the Pride March, and of course, as many people know, the premier,
the premier is leading it.
It is.
It's the first time that a premier has led a Pride March in the country.
Yes, and all reports he's kicking his cabinet into gear to get them along too.
Yes, so I think he did say that he wanted to get his whole cabinet there, whether or not you know they're busy or not on.
Sunday
is another factor, but you know how incredible would it be if they were all there?
That will be fantastic.
But I know the party's quite excited about it because you know once it happens, then it has to happen after that. You know, it's the same thing like last year when the premier turned up at Midsummer Carnival. Yes. It's like, well, now the premier has to turn up.
Yes, exactly.
Because you know, if one doesn't turn up, then it's like you didn't turn up. You're the only one who didn't turn up since they've been turning up. Same thing with this now.
Yeah.
People exactly. can get angry. And if anyone can get angry really easily, it's the guys.
It is. Andrew, what should people wear with their leather if it's going to be potentially a little damp?
Oh, yeah. 21, possible shower. Cloudy, medium chance of showers, 40%. So...
Well, I'd go, yeah.
Leather umbrellas.
What
leather
umbrellas. Can you get your leather wet? Probably not, right?
Yeah, you can. You can. It's durable, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a leather jacket. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, a leather jacket would be totally acceptable. Totally that actually looked pretty hot, actually. Maybe with a Mio cap, some gloves. We were just kicking around the idea when we went to song, maybe a leather poncho if you have one.
Ooh, yes, oh, very good.
Leather poncho.
Yes. I like a dryer's a bone thing.
No, but I'm thinking like poncho. Like not like a cape, but like an all round cape. Yeah,
a leather cape.
A leather cape.
Well, I think like capes can't be leather. Like Superman wouldn't wear a leather cape because it'd be too heavy.
Leather Man might.
So
it's true.
I'll give a shout out to Leather Man 2009, Neil Gingham Smith. Has a leather cape.
You know, capes were in for a while.
Yeah,
I do love a good cape.
Yes. So make sure you get your cape. If you don't have the leather one, get a rainbow one, of course.
Yeah.
Rainbow umbrellas, rainbow capes, whatever you want.
Or your leather flag as
well,
a cape,
as instead of wearing your Aussie flag around your neck like you did on Monday,
you can wear
your rainbow flag around your neck on Sunday.
Or your blue and black one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or
your leather pride flag, yes, of course.
How dare you forget that exists? Out of all the people. The leather flag.
I know the leather flag.
You were telling him to put a rainbow on. He doesn't want to do that.
I'm talking about everybody who's going
Pride
March on Sunday.
So you're being much more broad than I was.
I was.
I was just narrow casting to the leathers.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Is there anything left in Midsummer that you leather people really want to go to?
Because
you didn't put any submissions in for events.
We don't have any events this year.
WTF, what's going on?
WTF. We had an event last year. We will have an event next year. We've got some really good ideas, which we were just discussing as recently as this week. We will be on the ball next year.
Because last time we had, I think we had Con on just before the Black Ball from 2014.
Yep.
The committee is all happy about how Black Ball went and looking forward to 2015.
Yeah, definitely. We loved Black Ball. We were in a brand new venue this year, which was Kenobi in Lonsdale Street. Really great space, great sound system, great music, and we had a really good turnout. So we loved it.
Wonderful.
So stay tuned. VicLeather.org.au is where all the information is about all Vic Leather's happenings, including the monthly meet and greet. Remind people again.
Yes, fourth Friday of every month at the Yorkshire Hotel, which is the old Stingos, which is on Hoddle Street in Abbotsford.
next on Corner of Language.
Corner of Language, that's right.
Andrew Lovett, all the best to all the leather people going along to Pride March on Sunday.
Thank you.
How many are you expecting, Posse?
I think we're expecting about 40 to 50 marches.
Nice.
And we have some bikes who are leading us.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So look out for
those. Don't tell the dykes.
Sorry, spoiler alert. It's out now.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yes. So Pride March is, as we said, this coming Sunday. March starts at 2, but make sure you're down there between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. It is the 20th anniversary of Pride March. So get along, even if you either to support or to march as part of a group.
Yeah, bring your people along, bring your friends, bring your fam. The more the better, really.
Yes.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.